ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 6, which is entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Text number 12. Ayam avataro rajaso papluta kaivalyo pashikshanartha. Ayam avatara. This incarnation, Lord Rishabhdeva, Rajasa, by the mode of passion, Upapluta, overwhelmed, Kaivalya Upashikshanartha, to teach people the path of liberation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this age of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Rishabhdev incarnated Himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Purport. Oh, please repeat. In this age of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Rishabhdev incarnated Himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Purport. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. It is predicted how fallen souls will behave. They will keep their hair long and consider themselves very beautiful. Or they will pluck out their hair as the Jains do. They will keep themselves unclean and will not wash their mouths. Jains refer to Lord Rishabhdev as their original preceptor. If such people are serious followers of Rishabhdev, they must also take his instructions. In the 5th chapter of this canto, Rishabhdev gave his 100 sons instructions whereby they could become free from the clutches of Maya. If one actually follows Rishabhdev, he will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya and return home back to Godhead. If one strictly follows the instructions of Rishabhdev given in the 5th chapter, he will certainly be liberated. Lord Rishabhdev incarnated specifically to deliver these fallen souls. Om Agyanti Maranda Shah, Ganaya Shalakaya, Shakshurun Militam, Yenatas, Maishi Guru Venamaha, Namam Vishnudai Krishna Stamutade, Shimite Satsar Das Goswami Tiname, Namam Vishnudai Krishna Stamutade, Shimite Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiname, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Goravani Pracharini, Nirvishesa, Sunyavadi, Pasyatya, Desatarni. So here we are reading from the pastime of Lord Rishabhdev, who was born from King Nabi and Meru Devi after them having done a lot of sacrifices. Then the Lord agreed to appear in this pious family of his devotees, and the word Rishabh means the best or the supreme. So Lord Rishabhdev, being an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, was the best, and he grew up as such. And his father, King Nabi, he, as soon as he was grown up and capable to take care of the kingdom, then he gave his kingdom to Lord Rishabhdev, who then married with a girl that was sent by Lord Indra, Jayanti, and together they had 100 sons, from which the oldest son is Bharat. And in the following chapters, we will hear further also from King Bharat, from his oldest son, because he was asking his other sons to follow the instructions of his oldest son. And Lord Rishabhdev, he is teaching his sons the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. Dharma means religion, and Bhagavat means God. So it's the religious principles in devotional service which he was teaching them. And because the religious principle in devotional service is superior to the religious principles asking for liberation or for becoming free of material misery. So Bhagavad Dharma, Srila Prabhupada sometimes prefers to as the path of Krishna consciousness, or Bhagavad Dharma he refers to as devotional service. We sometimes hear that for example, when we go to Holland, some of the Suriname Hindus, they will say we follow the path of Bhagavad Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma is the path of devotional service. And Lord Rishadev, he is teaching, he is preaching to his sons the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is like a revival movement, spiritual revival movement, because spiritual life is meant to be, or we practice spiritual life to revive our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the Krishna conscious revival movement. So that's what the teachings are all about. And here Lord Rishabhdev, he will also point out that penances and austerities done on this path, they are very much welcome. They will enhance our spiritual life. If we practice austerities for the sake of Bhagavad Dharma, for the sake of pure devotional service, because many people are doing austerities. If you want to become rich in this lifetime, you will have to do austerities. But that's not the type of austerities that Lord Rishabhdev is referring to. Lord Rishabhdev is referring to the austerities, one does in order to progress in the path of spiritual life, to leave behind sense gratification, one has to perform austerities, because there is in material conditioning, there is a tendency to go for sense gratification, and it seems the most easy path, and it seems the most pleasurable path for us as conditioned souls. So in order to leave this behind, there is austerity involved. There is we have to become serious in spiritual life in order to leave these things behind. So this is these points are addressed together with many other points that he is approaching his sons. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, "My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is even available for dogs and ox that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service." So that is the these are the words of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons, that working hard day and night, that's not a goal. If it is to progress in spiritual life, then yes. If it is for material achievements, then one should not do that, and one should leave that behind. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. Once we have achieved certain progress in spiritual life, then we carry that always with us. Even if we don't make it in one lifetime, then whatever we have done in this lifetime, we carry with us over to the next life. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. If we want to follow the path of Bhagavad Dharma, of pure devotional service, then we should not accept to be involved with anything that is not related to Krishna. Of course, the most directly related with Krishna is the holy name. But also our devotional service, cleaning the temple room and washing the pots and editing the books or the newsletters or so many services, organization, etc. This is all devotion service because it is related, directly related to Krishna. And because it is directly related to Krishna, it fits in our program. But we should always be aware that what I'm doing now is that what I should be doing in order to please Krishna. We should always be reflective on that and make sure that our activities are directly in connection with Krishna consciousness. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. And from the practical sense, naturally, we need to keep our body and soul together. Therefore, of course, sumptuous prasadam is sometimes welcome, especially on festivals, etc. But at the same time, in general, we should not overindulge in these things, because they can distract us from the path. We should eat enough to take care of our body and needs, and that we don't feel hungry, because if you feel hungry, then it's difficult to think of Krishna. That's why Srila Prabhupada established that in a circle of or a radius of 10 kilometers around the temple, there should be no hunger. And if there is hunger, then the devotees should make sure that there is no hunger. There are no hungry people, because if you're hungry, then it's very difficult to think of Krishna. But otherwise, we should not. Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Otherwise, we should not overindulge in this luxury lifestyles and luxury habit and luxury eating and overeating and eating too much sweets, etc. Besides some occasions, which there are many in Krishna consciousness, but just balance it out. So Lord Rishadev basically is giving very basic teachings to his sons. And Srila Prabhupada makes here the point that the Jains, they also consider that, how does it stated here? Jains refer to Lord Rishabhdev as their original preceptor. So they do refer to him. At the same time, it is clear that there is some misunderstanding there, because if Rishabhdev is their founder acharya of the Jains, then the Jains would not be impersonalists. How can they be? And so Prabhupada points that out here. If such people are serious followers of Rishabhdev, they must also take his instructions, because they took Lord Rishabhdev after he had given his kingdom to Bharat, to his oldest son, and all his other sons were also involved. Then he took the life of a mendicant. He started traveling in the forest, in the villages, so he took the life of a mendicant, and then ultimately he went in a forest, and then there was a forest fire, and so from the external vision, he was burnt in the forest. So that's how it looked like, and he was he was living an extreme life of an avaduta, living like a python. A python is sitting there and waiting until the rabbit runs in its mouth, so more or less. So then Lord Rishabhdev also, he performed extreme, you know, you can say extreme renounced way of life. And then and people were even, you know, dishonoring him, and you know, even spitting at him, and he was passing stool and rolling in the stool. But the difference was that when he passed stool, the odor from his stool gave a nice fragrant odor 75 kilometers in that area, something like that, 85, 75 kilometers. So these are things which are not to be imitated by anybody else. So that's a little bit what happened with the Jains, because the Jains, they also have amongst, you have Jains householders, and you have also amongst the Jains, you have monks who renounce everything. They, you know, there are two basic sects there. One sect is walking naked, because they consider that one should have nothing, not even a gamsha. Or a kopin. And the other sect, they consider that one should have a gamsha, but nothing else. No properties, no wife, no nothing. Renounce completely. And that's where it comes from also, that these monks, apparently, they pluck out their heirs from there. I guess they don't want to use any sophisticated instrument to shave themselves. For that reason, I'm not sure even, but that's a little bit what I got from looking on the internet on the Jains monks. That's the type of thing I would kind of assume. So that they plug out the hairs of their head, so that they don't grow back, and they live very renounced life. And some of them are also very knowledgeable, and they have many, you can say, high standards of humanity and principles, and do good for others, and that type of thing, and very much into ahimsa, and so with high morality. So all these things are there, but you know, it's a little bit like the many zeros without a one, because they don't accept ultimately that there is the Supreme Lord from whom the universe is coming, from whom all the creation is coming, from whom everything is coming. They do accept karma and even soul, but I don't know exactly. I mean, I read some things, but I couldn't grasp it completely in such a short time. We'll have to look deeper what is exactly, because it's definitely not complete. And it's unfortunate that they, because it was the king in that area, there were like three provinces, one king, and that king, he had some understanding of Lord Rishabhdev, and he was a kind of follower of Lord Rishabhdev. But then after Lord Rishabhdev left, this king, he started to speculate. And from his speculation comes what Jainism is today. And there are some other, besides this King Arhat, he was the one who had known personally Lord Rishabhdev. But he became influenced by the illusory energy and he started to propound and say a philosophy which didn't come from Lord Rishabdev. He definitely hadn't considered the teachings of Lord Rishabdev. He had maybe seen some behavior which he wanted to imitate or whatever, but he was misrepresenting Lord Rishabdev. So then another important person was a person called Lord Parshva, and then Mahavira. Mahavira was living 250 years before Jesus Christ. So they are, you know, important figures. They have examples, like 24 examples in history of outstanding self-realized people whom they follow some of their teachings, but it's all within this Jainism without having like a complete philosophy. We know the Jains in Antwerp. There are like a few hundred families there who are well established in Antwerp as in diamond and gold business. So they are, you know, they are very strict on with their food also. Very clean, very strict, very regulated with the intake of their food. Their diet is, so to say, more strict than our diet, because they will also, besides that they are strict vegetarian, they will also not take vegetables that grow under the ground, like potatoes and carrots and so many things. They only will eat what grows above the ground. Of course, besides rice and milk products, etc. So Srila Prabhupada is also making the point the symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in the 12th canto. In the second chapter, which is entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga. And we can really see, if we read a few verses, we can see that we are living in Kali Yuga. Although Kali Yuga is another 427,000 years, still we can see that Kali Yuga, you know, is progressing. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is predicted that for 10,000 years, there will be like, let's say if it rains everywhere, there will be an area where there is an umbrella, in a period of time, there will be an umbrella of 10,000 years by which spiritual life should be very much developed thanks to the spreading of the glories of the holy name. So that will be a relief for all the inhabitants of the world for such a period. But in general, Kali Yuga means go down the road, go down the dip to the, you know, to a lower level of consciousness and lifestyle. And that is also described in this chapter of the symptoms of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto. And Sukadev Goswami said, then means at the Kali Yuga, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the aids of Kali. People, will not live anymore at the end of Kali Yuga, will not live anymore more than 50 years. They will be much smaller because the earth will be bereft, because when the earth is bereft of inhabitants with good qualities, then the earth also withdraws its natural resources, and so the trees will be not anymore the trees we see now. The trees will be more like bushes. They will be very small, and there will be lack of water, and there will be a lack of so many things. And then the qualities of the people also, and people will even eat their own, human beings will eat other human beings. In Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered a sign of a man's good birth. That's already a little bit there now. Because if you are rich, then you are respected in the society, even today. I mean, at least it's this type of respect is starts to come up. So in Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered a sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. And success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a Brahmana just by his wearing a thread. And we can see also that the accent on superficial attraction between couples, on the externals, that is, we see definitely clear signs of that. And then the womanliness and the manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. So that's also, we see, so much advertisement for sex. If you want to sell something, you put a lady in swimming dress, swimming suit next to it, and then it sells better. So this this is coming, and it's spreading all over the earth. I mean, like in India, when I went the first time, you would never have seen a lady, who is not properly dressed, or who even gives some vibration of some sexual vibration. You would have never seen that. And now, I go so many times to India, and practically every time I see some increase in the form of a poster or a cinema advertisement or whatever, every time I see some increase means decrease from the Krishna conscious point of view. Practically every time something strikes me, I've never seen that before in India, that the way, for dressing and the sexual vibration, it's every year. They are not yet where we are in the West. They are still a little behind, but they are catching up rapidly, unfortunately. They are making a lot of material progress in that sense, unfortunately. So what to do? Yeah, so that it goes on like this, in this as the earth thus becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes shows himself to be the strongest will gain political power. Prahosh Prabhu was telling a joke. I don't know if I can repeat it now, but But related to this, he was telling the story of a politician. And after his death, he came to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj told him, "Where you want to go? To heaven or to hell?" And that politician said, "Can you show me both?" And Yamaraj said, "Okay, let's go." So then he showed him heaven, and it was very nice. And then he showed him hell, and it was also very nice. All kinds of games and all kinds of plays and sumptuous buildings and all these things. And then he came back. "Well, actually, now that you have seen both, I start to doubt. Maybe I think I like to go to hell." And then Yamaraj said, "Okay, go to hell." And then he came into the hell where he had visited before, and then it was all gray and with shackles and people crying and a whole heavy scene. Thought, what happened now? And then he called for Yamaraj, and he said, but you just show me hell, and it was so attractive. It was like a holiday, resort. So, and Yamaraj said, "Well, this, and now it's completely different. Well, it is just like you as a politician. This is one thing is what you promise, and now is the reality what you deliver." So it's related to this. It's an appropriate comparative joke. So I will stop here. Any comments? Questions? Make sure you are very busy, that you don't have too much time for eating. And also to regulate it is a nice thing, to not eat too much in between, because then you become unsettled in your mind. If you're really hungry, you don't know anymore if you're really hungry or if it's just you eat for the taste. If you are regulated, breakfast, lunch, and then in the evening something, then sometimes we also eat for because we are annoyed with something, or then, so if you keep this regulation, then and there are naturally periods in one's life when you are young, you naturally are inclined to eat more. And if you regulate yourself, if you are used to regulate yourself, then there comes also time that naturally, without too much, controlling yourself, so to say, that naturally you don't feel like when you're regulated and you know, when you become older, then naturally you don't eat too much. But sometimes it can be a struggle. I think most of us, they go to some type of struggle in some type of our devotional life to control this eating propensity or eating. So, but if we engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then in a positive sense, in devotional service, then that's definitely an important protection. And another important thing is to regulate it, and to, you don't need to go hungry. You can eat nicely, but do it at a time that is planned for it, and don't accept to your mind to be, you know, every hour to go down to the next offering. And although it's Mahaprasadam, so Krishna will take care of it also in some way, but still it's good to be regulated. So we'll stop here. So Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.
Does it include a question and answer session, or does it include that? Or?
They have a lecture. Rasamanda Prabhu will be lecturing at 3 o'clock. Also, anybody who wants to attend in the main classroom, Rasamanda Prabhu will lecture on Vaishnava Vaisyan, the Russian Kim Vaisyan. Today, they will be able to have a more formal presentation. And before that,
here we dressed up in Vaishnavas, some of them. So is there any volunteer? Maybe Madhavendra Puri? Do you hear me? I think he did it last year. So any volunteers to dress up the ladies in saris? We can't do it. So I'll figure that out.
Ik heb gewoon, omdat het over de zon ging, dacht ik ga op internet een beetje kijken. Dus ik heb het gelezen, maar ja, dus ik heb gelezen, het is gewoon heel beperkt. Ik weet zeker dat je het vindt als je verder.
Ik was gewoon nieuwsgierig.